This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Another weekend gone. And there's a teams event down in South Island, Barry.
No, I didn't really. I was sort of tied up with open homes all day Saturday, playing a bit of bridge myself on Sunday. The winning team was the Barrington team. Going into the last round, it was certainly all to play for. The Ware team had a narrow lead going into the last round. The Barrington team probably owe the Abraham team a drink, Mariana.
Really?
Well, the Abraham team knocked over the Ware team by 17 imps. And the Barrington team went ahead and won and managed to have a comfortable win in the end over the Ware team. We've only just held on for second. Quite interesting. Mariana was just looking through and she noticed one of the matches early on, the Ware team won by 95 imps to one. Sounds like a cricket score to me.
And it just stood out. 69, 40 odd. That's 95.
69 is a lot of imps.
Yeah. And, see our friend Hugh McGann, he went down there.
He went down. What was he in?
Oh, no. He went down to to play in the South Island teams, who actually had 26 teams.
That was a pretty good turnout, really. People had to go to Marlborough. It's not the easiest. Well, I'm going to say it. People are going to not like me for saying this. If it had been online, they would have had double that number of teams, and it would have been a really great event with all the top players and lots of them. But there you go. Lodge your complaint. Email in. That's what I reckon. It would have been a marvellous event if it was online.
Yes, it would have been.
And in saying that, well done to the Marlborough Club for doing what they did. 26 teams was pretty good.
It is. And here's a little bit of goss for your listeners. We've got confirmation too. Paul Marsden, ex-Kiwi, now Australian, I guess. He's going to be joining the Bridge Zone crew next week. We'll be chatting with him and he can tell us all about his life. And I'm pretty sure we could give up to any people in the gin club. What's his green book called? Is it The Language of Bidding?
Yeah, The Language of Bidding and Introduction to Bridge is two main ones. Before I might ask him about that story about two bridge players playing off on the tennis court. Fred Whittaker, who was a very handy tennis player. Paul Marsden was involved somehow, but anyway, there was a bet involved, and Fred had to play with a cricket bat. The other one was playing with a tennis racket. Now, I'm going to ask him about that story. Details have faded into the mists of time. It was a famous story back in the day.
How many decades ago would that have been?
It wasn't this century, I can tell you.
Actually,
I hear about somebody told me that you're going to have 35 utes on your front lawn. Is that what's going to happen?
No.
Or did I mishear?
You misheard. You need hearing aids. I was talking about our youth weekend.
It wasn't utes then. Wondering whether they were Fords or Holdens.
Well, right. If they were coming onto our property, it would only be a Ford. Anyway, yes.
They haven't got 35 youth. You've got 35 youth players. Is that what you've got?
Youth players currently registered for the youth weekend camp being held down in Christchurch Bridge Club, Friday the 4th of September to the 6th. We've extended the closing of registrations to the 30th of June because originally it was going to be in August. So we've got a couple of weeks now. So we've just pushed back the close of registration. So 35 youngsters going to hit Christchurch at the beginning of September. It's a pretty good number, but we still have the capacity to take some more numbers. So if you are listening, tell your club members, tell your people who are doing lessons to send me an email, youth@nzbridge.co.nz.
Fabulous rooms at the Christchurch Bridge Club. How many do you think they could fit? They are pretty big.
Have no idea. Are they bigger than our club, are they?
I don't know whether they'd be bigger. They'd certainly be getting up there. I mean, I reckon they could fit 70 in.
70? Oof.
Yeah, I'm sure they could fit 70 in. I played in an event there earlier in the year and they would have had more than 70 there. So there's no shortage. If you want to go and park your ute at the Christchurch Bridge Club, you'll be fine.
Get in there. Yeah. And look, another interesting thing happened today. I've got a question about an entry into our 5A Swiss Pairs, Barry.
Yes, I heard about this. Now, I don't know. I would have thought, most players would have realized that if you want to enter a Swiss Pairs event, that you have to play every match, just
Yeah, every
play some of
session.
them. So we had this entry that wanted to start playing on the second night. I'm not too sure who they thought they were going to play against. There's a draw out. Everybody's already got somebody to play.
Slightly unusual because each session, so we're playing over 3 weeks, Wednesday night
I'll
over
grant you that.
three
It is a
weeks.
bit unusual to play it
It
over 3 weeks.
is, people have entered the first, second, and third week in the NZB upcoming tournament event. So the question really came about was because we've actually entered in week one, two, and three, we weren't able to take place in week one, but our entry is still there. So yeah, it is a bit confusing.
Ideally, it's the tournament should only appear on the tournament list once, I believe,
Once,
the
yeah.
first week. And if you go in there, it should say that it's being played over three
3 weeks,
weeks.
yeah. In fact, we've also had a query over whether people have to pay another $35 per session. And we quickly put that to rest. Simple answer is no. The tournament is run over 3 weeks, Wednesday nights. There are nine sessions, and $35 is one entry fee for the entire event.
So
You
a lot of
can't.
people just entered for the first week, and that was absolutely fine, but it is a little confusing. By the way, the event is going really well. It's quite a competitive event. Out in the lead are Diane Bridgman and Elizabeth Nelson. I believe they are from Terradale in Waiheke. Let's see if they can hang on.
And go Hamilton Club members, Catherine Cameron and Lucy Armstrong. Their nails are sharpened and they're hanging into third place.
That's right. There's a lot still to play.
Yep. Bring on session two, 24th of June, another 3 rounds of Swiss. Whakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates, and novices. And our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow. And
Good morning, Mr. Jim.
Good morning, Mariana. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, Ross.
What's been happening in your little world?
The first bit of news I have some new ranking lists out. I know you'll focus on the more senior ones. In our area, novice ranking list, top of the list is Rosie McLeod from South Wairarapa. In the certificate of proficiency, Teresa Pooley from Upper Hutt first. And now, this is good news for you. Your Annie Sue is top of the club master ranking list from Hamilton. And in the local master, which is the intermediate division, first at the top is Mr. Jim.
Whoa,
And ahead,
whoa.
now don't get too excited because that won't last. But anyway, it's nice for one of the Bridge Zone people to be there in headlights. Recent changes have happened. Alex Meyer has gone up from intermediate to the provincial master and straight to the top from East Coast Bay, Zakarana. And one of our recent Ginnies, Jessie Pilinato from Christchurch, she's gone all the way through provincial and now she's into the master section. She's actually top of the master section after only a year or so. She's a high flyer. Here's a little
Cool.
funny story. This is one for you, Barry. I'm playing north, and we go through a series of Roman key cards, and he shows me two key cards. We've settled in six spades. My hand is ace, king, queen of spades, and he's showing me a good spade support, and he's got the ace of diamonds. I win the contract, and lo and behold, on my left, opposition leads the ace of diamonds. Aaron puts his hand down. Remember, I've got ace, king, queen, 7-2 of spades. He puts his hand down. He's got ace, queen, 6-2 of spades, and the ace of diamonds. Now, how does that happen, Barry? You're a master of this sort of stuff.
I have seen this happen before, and what had happened when I saw it was that one of the players still had their hand from the previous board. That was a long time ago. Was that it?
For some reason, Aaron had the hand from the next board, but not only did he not have South hand, when we turned the card over, all our cards were blue on the back, his were red, but not only did he not have the right board, he had West's hand from the next board.
From the next board or the previous one?
Oh, the next board for some reason. Goodness knows how it happened. We actually don't know whether they were put back in wrong or whatever. Anyway, Patrick.
We might have to talk to the Fair Play Committee. I think far too much drinking is taking place at intermediate tournaments. That's the problem. That's what I think is happening.
Well, hang on, colorblind as well. Weren't you staring at the back of his card?
You shouldn't be staring at the back of his card, so that's very good that you didn't notice, Ross.
It was a Friday morning club session.
You've got blue cards.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be looking at the back of the opponent's card. You definitely shouldn't be doing that.
Absolutely, you don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think there's too much drinking at intermediate tournaments. That's the only thing I can think of.
I told you, it was Friday morning at the Auckland.
Oh, it's Friday. Well, go, you're already on the tips at 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock.
It might be the
That's
odd
even gym. Worse.
We have a few results. Auckland Interclub teams on Friday night. The top intermediate pair were Jenny Colgan and Sue Bellin from Mangaroa, which was lovely. Hastings in the weekend had an intermediate teams tournament. This is quite rare. Like, we don't have those in Auckland. I don't know whether they have them in Waikato. I know they have them at Christchurch Congress. That's something for clubs to think about, an intermediate teams event, won by Christine Moffat, Tony White, Bernie Schroeder, and Catherine Laughlin from Hastings.
How many teams do they get, Ross? I think the reason they don't usually have intermediate teams tournaments is it's hard to get enough teams to make it work. Yeah, 10's not too bad.
I should have thought 10 would have been quite successful. Yeah. Stratford Restricted. It was booked out. First was Dean Skelton and David O'Shaughnessy from New Plymouth. In second place was Jill Burris and Mara Robinson from Harborough. United Club down in Christchurch had an intermediate tournament there. David Riley and Jenny Shaw from Christchurch. Winton had an intermediate tournament and a junior tournament. Okay, now we talk about not getting that many tables up north of Taupo, let's say. Winton Intermediate had 13 tables. Their junior had 8 tables. Intermediate one was won by Keith Brinkworth and Jen White from Winton. And the junior was Ruth Delamere and Libby Bennett from Queenstown. They averaged just on 63%. Now, Dargaville Intermediate, to which we went, they had 9 intermediate tables and 7 junior tables, but that clubhouse was full. It was rocking. It was a really lovely tournament. Nicola Puharit and Peter Ball from Dargaville won the intermediate, and the junior was won by Cheryl Mai and Gerda Von Dyke from Whangarei, and they averaged 63.5. Last one, Capimana Intermediate, Anne Becker and Yvonne Helps from Capimana won that, and they had a 71% in the afternoon and averaged 65. So they had a wonderful weekend.
I see one of my youth players was playing in the Winton Intermediate pairs, got top east-west in the afternoon section. So that's
wonderful.
Pretty good. Timothy Omvik, I'll get to meet him in Christchurch when he comes down to the youth camp.
It was a bit of a photo finish at Dargaville, Ross. The top 3 average scores were 57.93, 57.83, and 57.21.
Very close, and it was good competition too. It was a lovely tournament, very welcoming up there. I told you I had a little story about Sam McNay and Chris Wilson.
Yep.
Their results in the restricted tournaments, just going back for the whole year. This is coming from last up to present. Second, third, second, 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 fifth, first, first, first.
Woo.
Only Jack James can beat that at the moment.
Jack
if you had a horse with form like that, you'd be making a fortune.
Yeah, that's really, really great. Coming up, we've got Dannevirke Intermediate and Junior, Howick Intermediate, 14 tables into there, Howick Junior, 9 tables there. So that's 23, that's a full room. Rangiora Restricted, Omaru All Grades, and the big one, of course, is Wellington Regional Teams. And the one I wanted to mention most of all was Mindsville
Restricted Open
in Swiss Pears. They have endorsed or adopted the 3A format, and that was booked out weeks ago. They've got 24 tables. So the 3A concept and the Swiss Pears combined is really increasing in popularity, and that's what New Zealand Bridge wanted when they put it in. So hats off to Mindsville for grabbing that opportunity to change their event. Maybe last year they had 10 tables or 12 tables. Now they're full, 24, and they've been full for weeks. I'll sneak a little bit more information. Auckland Region have adopted the idea of having a circuit for intermediate and junior tournaments. So the last 5 tournaments of this year will be accumulated and scored Hopefully we might be a little bit of prize money with sponsorship, and there will be a trophy, and that will be for individuals because people are already committed to their playing partners for the rest of the year. But next year it will be a partnership thing. So it'll be awarded to the top partnership over the possible 13 intermediate tournaments next year, and maybe it'll be 8 out of 13 scores have to go. And so Auckland have adopted what Waikato have done and what Northland have done, and we now have a Grand Prix circuit in Auckland.
That's Super awesome. City.
That's good. So you obviously have to be a member of an Auckland or Northland club to be eligible. How does it work?
I've yet to be decided, Barry. The region is not putting any money in, so I personally don't think it needs to be restricted. I think someone from Waikato.
Somebody could sneak up from Waitomo and play you.
That's right. Maybe they can't qualify for the cup, but if there's prize money, I don't see why they shouldn't be entitled to the prize money. The objective is to improve the standard of intermediate pairs in Auckland, and if that means somebody from Waikato, a couple of intermediates come up and compete and it raises a standard, that's achieving the objective, isn't it?
Normally, if it's a regional thing, normally the region is focused on the players in their own little district. So at the end of the day, I agree. Bridge is wanting more bums on seats, and providing these individual leagues or partnership leagues are one way of doing that.
It's still to be discussed. We're still working out the nuts and bolts, but we're starting on the 4th of July. The Mount Albert Intermediate will be the first of the five that are still available for this year. So all your junior intermediate players, there'll be prizes for juniors as well as intermediates from Auckland. Get your entries in to the Mount Albert Intermediate tournament now.
When is it, Ross?
4th of July.
4th of July. Oh, American Independence Day, is it? Yeah. Oh, well, it's an easy date to remember.
So where are you playing this weekend?
Playing Howick with Steve. And then on Sunday, we have our rubber bridge match. Steve and I are playing Hamish Brown and Kinga.
Oh, cool. Good luck and have a great week. Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it.
Next up, we're at the courthouse. To know me is to love. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. Good morning, Patrick. How are you going?
Fine, thanks, Marianne.
I reckon we're going to get a short answer to today's questions.
Uh-oh.
This is, luckily, we're not paying Patrick by the hour.
Oh. So I get a flat rate. So I just log off now and I get it all. Excellent.
Very quickly, Marietta got called to the table the other day where Declara was the fourth player to play to a trick, and the trick was being won in dummy, and the hand on his right discarded, and Declara played low, at which point the hand on his right realised that they did, in fact, have a card in the suit that had been played, and they could beat dummy's card. Well, the first question is, can Declara change their card at that point?
Okay, we'll deal with it all. What's your second question, Barry?
The second question is, can Declara ask one of the defenders, have you got no more spades?
There's only any point in asking if they've just discarded. But anyway, yes, of course, I'm sure we all know that Declara can change their card now, and Declara can pick their card up because they don't have a penalty card. Whereas the card that the defender played originally, that will be a penalty card. Now, Declara could have before they played, and if they were surprised about them discarding, could have chosen to ask the defender, have you got no more spades? They're allowed to ask. So that's not a problem. Then the defender would have said, oh, yes, I have got a spade, and would have put a spade down. So there would have been no difference here except for the fact that Declara didn't expose the fact that they had another card, I guess. They've got another small spade in their hand. I can't really see there was any advantage in Declara asking this, because for the sake of concealing that extra small spade that the defence might not have known about, they have possibly prevented the opponent's revoking, which might well have given them a big advantage. So Declara is allowed to ask the defender if they want to. There's no problem about that. Dummy can ask Declara when they show out. It's got to be sort of straight away, not on the next trick or anything like that.
What about the defenders, Patrick?
Defenders could ask a declarer as well. That's not a problem. Defenders can even ask each other, but there is a problem with that. So, for instance, the classic situation is if declarer playing trumps plays the ace and one hand shows out, their partner asks them, haven't you got any of those? Well, it's true that if they've revoked, they've saved their partner from revoking. But if they have really got a void, they have given their partner information because they've said, oh, gosh, I was so surprised at that. It means declarer's got more trumps than me.
Right, yeah.
So there is a possibility of unauthorized information there. And at one point, this rule was different, or at least it was different in America, and then America decided to change it back. They did have a rule where a revoke was established if you did that, but that is not the case. It never has been the case in New Zealand, and I believe it's not the case in America now, although I must admit I'm not an expert on American rules. Defenders can ask each other when they show out, and in fact, most of you are familiar with the name of Bruce Bell. I had to direct Bruce in his very later years at the Auckland Club. And I remember him, when I was called for a revoke, him telling Nigel Hannay, who was his regular partner, I've told you, Nigel, always challenge me.
I know you're a betting man because I've had a few bets with you. So if you were defending and your partner showed out of a suit and so did declarer and you knew that one of them had revoked, what would you go for? Would you ask?
Well, I hadn't really thought about this situation. I guess the answer, Barry, is it depends who my partner is and who declarer is. It's like saying, if there were two horses in the race, which would you bet on? You need to know something about the horses. In this case, I need to know something about my partner and something about declarer. And you're right. There's an ethical question there about whether you should just generally be generous to the declarer and say, look, someone's revoked you, or whether you should think, oh, it's more likely to clear a revoke than my partner, and keep quiet. And maybe you'd keep quiet just out of embarrassment. Just imagine you made a fuss and then you found out you've miscounted and they both really were out. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Oh, you've been embarrassed before the bridge table, Patrick.
Oh, many times.
All righty then. Well, you have a great day. We'll catch you next week.
Okay.
Thank you, Patrick.
So, Barry, you got a chip of the week for us.
Yeah. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away. Tip at the Hamilton Bridge Club last week because we were having a special general meeting about our roof. Now, I'm sure the listeners don't want to hear about that. My tip was short and sweet. I said, look, you're going to be defending roughly half the time today. What's the first thing you should be doing when you see the dummy go down?
Did you get stunned silence or lots of questions?
Well, the answer isn't go for coffee, right?
Okay.
So it should be count the points in dummy. Estimate how many points declarer has got from the bidding. You've usually got a rough idea. If they've opened a no trump, whether it's weak or strong, you know within a couple of points. And look at your own hand and figure out roughly how many points partner's got. I don't know. Say there's 6 points in dummy and declarer's got 12 to 14. They've got a minimum of 18. And if you've only got 6 points, well, partner's got a lot of points, haven't they? Then it's probably not going to happen. But say you've got 10 points. There's 6 in dummy. And you know the clearer's got 12 to 14. So you know partner's actually got 12 points over there. Yeah, for one thing, wouldn't it make you feel a bit better to know?
Yes,
partner's got 12 points. All of a sudden, you realise you're looking at your balanced-looking 10 count or whatever with no really good suit, thinking, this is not so great. And somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, by the way, Mariana, your partner's got 12 points. Wouldn't that perk you up a bit?
It would.
So now it's just a matter of figuring out where they are. And as the hand goes along, have that 12 number in your brain, 12 points. Partner shows up with nothing in hearts. Well, they've got 12 points somewhere else.
How about that? Right.
Mark my words, it is going to help you with your defense if you work out how many points partner's got. And certainly when you get towards the second half of the hand, by now you'll have a pretty fair idea where their points are.
Yep, you would.
If your partner happens to be on lead, and they lead, and that gives you an idea of what they've got, perhaps, that'll help you even more to figure out where partners' points are.
I wonder how many people actually go through those steps.
Partner leads the Queen of Hearts and declarer's got the Ace and dummy's got the King and partners led the Queen of Hearts. You think, well, that's only 3 points. They've got another 9 somewhere.
True. But like I said, I wonder how many people actually do that. Maybe not a lot.
Well, if you do that or if you don't, I had somebody saying, one of the comments I got was, oh, we do quite well without doing that, though.
Why would we do that?
And I said, well, you don't have to do it, but if you want to do better, then this is one way to start. It's quite a simple thing to do. For a start, you'll find it quite hard work, and it sort of slows you down a bit because you're sitting there counting to 40, and it does take a while, but it is worthwhile, and it will help your defense. So if it does, if it helps you, or if it doesn't help you, or if you do it or if you don't, email us in bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. And if it helps you out next week when you're playing, well, you can send me a new ute. I don't care if it's a Holden.
You don't care if it's a Holden. Don't be like that.
Don't tell your husband that. he'll kill me if he hears me say that.
Whoa, here he comes again. Fast thing. Who's that with? Ethel. Is that you, Ethel? Where do you think you're going? Of this anatomy. You can't
week we will have room to add in our final segment with Douglas Russell. If your club has great ideas about the retention of newbies after they finish the beginner lessons, let us know, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. I'd certainly be interested to hear what you have, and if we can, I'd like to share it with the Hamilton Bridge Club. Our lessons have just finished and we are now in the supervised play area. Well, that's about it for us this week, folks. Take care and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.